Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
All right, so glad to be with you once again wherever you are, and I'm glad the listeners are picking up all over the world, and we appreciate it as you're hitting our website, and we know that you're listening out there, and I thank God for it. And we're going to have a tremendous program today because we have Jack McElroy with us. In a few minutes, we'll be talking to him. And he wrote a book we called Which Bible is God's Word? Or Which Bible Would Jesus Use? That's it. And it's dynamite. The book is the best I've ever read. And if you don't agree with our position and you read that, you have a bad conscience if you read the book and you don't become a believer in the authorized King James Bible. But I want to start off with a few scripture verses today and read it. And how did the Bible come to us as an introduction? And it says in Acts chapter 2, and we'll start there. Now, God told him to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, these people were Galileans, and many of the people thought that they were ignorant and ignorant men. So how are they going to preach to the whole world? Well, God's going to teach them the language. He's going to give them the languages. And so God made translations of his word to the whole world right at the beginning. And here's how it starts. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. That's languages. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, they didn't need a translator at that time. When they had the gift of tongues or the gift of languages, they didn't need a translator, because God translated what he was saying into the different languages. And it says, and they were all amazed, and saying one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now, they were Galileans and spoke Aramaic. Well, how could they be speaking all these different languages? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So it was a gift of a miracle of hearing, and they didn't need a translator. Today, people that claim the gift today need a translator to translate from English into whatever language that they are speaking in, but God did a miracle here. Now, it lists the languages, and these are the languages they spoke. Now, what God is doing here is he told him to go to the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature, so he is going to translate the languages of the world right at the beginning. And so it says here, and now here we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying what they were saying in doubt. What are these men are full of new wine? So they were mocking and said that. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken. And then he preaches the word of God to them. And so then we read in the book of Acts, the word of God increased. And then it talks about the different places the word of God went. And so God made the translations right there. You see it. I think it was some people count as many as 13 languages he translated into. And all these languages, the Bible was translated by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the gift of tongues would continue until the perfect law of liberty came. And it says, when you have that, then tongues would cease. That is, when God gave the word of God, then he wouldn't have to be translating anymore, because the Bible had been translated. And then when these languages were translated, and they were translated, it mentions right here the language, about 13 languages, translated into Aramaic, into Syriac, it was translated into the Old Latin, and all of these different languages. And then God preserved his words. And then finally in 1611, the King James translators translated these words. Now, they did it with the backing of God himself, because he says in the Bible, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt purify them from this generation forever. And so God would keep them. He would preserve them. And it says, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. So God is in the business of translating. When you read the word interpretation in the King James, it means simply translating the word of God. And so God would preserve those words, and then he would keep them. And so today we have them in the authorized King James Bible. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. They've heard the voice of Jesus in the King James Bible. 200 other translations come out. When the advertising stops, they stop, because they're dead. They're all dead. But this is the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And it's the living word of God. And it's gone on to be, it has been on to be printed in 5 billion copies all over the world. And God has given us many reasons why we know that the King James Bible is the Word of God. But today we have with us in this book, which Bible would Jesus use? And you know, it's so good. I'm on my 4th time through. You know, when you read something that's really good, you want to get it in your mind and in your heart. And so every Christian ought to have this book, because what I'm telling you is this, that every word of our Bible that we have today, the authorized King James Bible or any Bible, is under question. And the people that don't believe we have the Word of God today and talk about the originals, which they don't have, they've run themselves into a ditch. And a lot of them say, well, I guess we'll never find out what the originals say. Well, they never had them in the first place. But we have them today in the original English. And so I got to get to Brother McElroy, and he's going to tell you some of the reasons why. And so we're so glad that you're with us today. God bless you. Go ahead.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me back. You know, the title of the book is Which Bible Would Jesus Use? The Bible Version Controversy Explained and Resolved. And, you know, asking the question is, that's where it all starts. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ, anybody who's ever been to a Bible study where multiple versions of the Bible are used, soon realizes that they don't all say or mean the same thing. And sometimes they say contradictory things, sometimes they mean things that are totally opposite. But here's the thing, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come to your church this night and he were to make a presentation or quote a verse or something like that, you would instantly know which Bible he would use, simply because it would be clear to you at that point. And that's why I wrote the book. You can see, everybody knows that they all say and mean different things, but then, well, which one would he use? And I show in the book how whichever Bible he uses, he's going to use a Bible that does not make him look like a liar. And interestingly enough, if you look at some of the modern versions, there's a particular verse in the Gospel of John where it actually makes him tell a lie. Isn't that amazing, Bruce?
Oh, it sure is.
Makes the Lord Jesus Christ tell a lie, where he told his brothers that he wasn't going. He said, depending on which Bible you read or which version, in the modern versions, I'm not going to go to the feast. I'm not going up to the feast. And then he ends up going up. But then in the King James Bible, it says, I go not up yet to the feast. And then later he did go up. So the other versions actually make him look like he told his brothers a lie. So then you can use that, or people I think have, where they'll say, well, it's okay to tell a white lie. Look at Jesus did. That's something you can Google it. I think that if you Google that, a white lie, Jesus told a white lie, I think you'll find it. So, I mean, that's just one example. Another one is where they make him look out to be a sinner. Remember when the Lord was in the temple and he drove out the money changers? And it said that he was angry when he drove them out. Well, here's the thing. In the modern versions, it says that it's a sin to be angry. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was angry. But in the King James Bible, it says that he that is angry with his brother without a cause. See, they leave out that phrase, without a cause. And certainly in this particular case, where the Lord drove out the money changers, there was a cause. So that's just a couple of examples where just the elimination of a few words or one word even in that verse in John that I gave you would disqualify, you know, the New International Version or the New American Standard or the Holman Christian or the ESV, because they all say the same thing.
You know, I tell you something. I think that some of these translators, they knew what they were doing when they did that. You know why? Because when they make a translation, they look at other translations, number one. A second thing that they look at is they look at the background of the word, you know, and they see how that word is used. Other people use those words, you know. I think they knew what they were doing. We got really wolves in sheep clothing here.
Well, you know, I think it's really because of their education. They can look at it, but it's almost cognitive dissonance. They see it, but somehow it doesn't register, because if they read the textual critics from whom the modern versions come, because they create the critical text, they actually admit, like Bruce Metzger, that he thinks it's an error in the original, like Matthew made a mistake or Mark made a mistake. John made a mistake, and that later on, Christians saw that the evangelists made mistakes, so they added words in.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Because I was listening to Floyd Ankerberg, and he had these guys from Dallas on there, and they were just bragging on Bruce Metzger, and he believes that the originals had errors in it, like you're saying right now.
That's the most incredible thing. You know, I point this out, and I really went to some length. I made it as simple as possible, though, in my book. And I thought, as soon as somebody reads this, they'll catch it right away and say, well, we can't have... It doesn't make any sense to have a holy book that's got errors in it. What kind of religion is that? We all try to go out and show other people or teach other people about the Lord Jesus Christ and all he's done, but our authority for what we believe is only in a book. So the book better be perfect. It better be pure. It better not have errors in it. It better not have historical errors or geographic errors or scientific errors. It has to be correct. Otherwise, what kind of faith are you trying to transfer to somebody? Why should anybody believe you if the holy book that you have has holes in it?
Yeah, and Jesus said, thy word is truth. You know, that's making Jesus a liar. If the Bible has errors in it, then Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about, or he's a liar.
Wow. Boy, you're correct. Absolutely. And let me give you an example of a scientific error that the New American Standard makes. Now, everybody, it's not so big now, but back in the day, the New American Standard was the go-to scholarly Bible. And they used to advertise it, I think they still do, as a serious Bible for serious students of the Bible who want to do serious Bible study. Well, here's a elementary school error, science error that they make, where they talk about, it's actually in James 3:12, where the King James Bible says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Okay, so you can't get salt water and fresh out of the same fountain. Makes sense, and it's true. You can't, because the water is what it is in a fountain. All right, same verse in the New American Serious Student's Bible, right? It says, can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Now, see, they're not mentioning a fountain at all. They just said, nor can salt water produce fresh. Well, guess what? Salt water produces fresh water every day by condensation. Where do you think all the water comes from for rain? The sun hits the ocean. The oceans, give up moisture, and that all condenses, turns to rain. So salt water produces fresh water all the time. Not to mention, that's what desalination plants are. But see, by leaving out the whole concept of a fountain, they make a huge scientific error. That's just one example. And there are others as well. I cite some of these, I have on my Facebook page. If you go to my Facebook, that's Jack McElroy, McElroy, you can friend me or not if you'd like. It doesn't really matter, because all my stuff is there for the public to see. But I post a bunch of, they're like one-page memes, and it take you less than 2 minutes to read them. It's just one page. It's got a headline. It compares the two scriptures, the King James versus, an NIV or a New American Standard or the ESV. And then I make a couple of points and a little summary, one-sentence summary of it, showing how the differences matter, and they matter a lot.
You know, one preacher said, and I want to interject this, one preacher said that this is a new thing that we're saying, that the King James is, the perfect word of God. Well, I looked back, and Billy Sunday said, and he always used the King James, he went to New York City and had 120,000 converts at one meeting. And he said that if scholarship disagreed with the Bible, scholarship can go plumb to the devil. Spurgeon said that anybody corrected the King James, he called them popelings. Talmage, who is considered one of the great preachers of his day, and God used him greatly, and his messages were preached every Monday morning and carried in 600 newspapers, he said it was a perfect translation. Logdon was the pastor of Moody Church, and he said it was the King James was absolutely true, and he denied any, he said that the new ASV was awful, and you could just go down the list of these people. Whitfield came to America and turned America upside down with the King James Bible. And even Chuck Smith, that had the hippie revival out there, revival everywhere. God used men that had revivals. God, the Holy Spirit used greatly. They used the King James. I just want to put that in. We're not saying anything new. No, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the point, your point is well taken, and the King James Bible has been proven. It's got a 400-year history of results. Look at the results. Look at the history of modern versions. And since they did the revised version in 1885, that's when that first came out, where did that end up? Well, that morphed into the American Standard Version in 1901. Who uses that today? Nobody. Who uses the revised version? Nobody. Then came the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, that's virtually unused. So they all have a history of revision, and then they all go on life support, and then they go out of business, and then they're replaced. Even the NIV had a major overhaul in 2011, where it contradicted itself in many places, which is pretty amazing, because they've got hundreds of millions of them out there, and yet they... It depends on which edition of it you're going to use, because they say different things and change things as they went along. So the only Bible that, if you're going to have a standard Bible, and the standard English Bible is the King James Bible, then it shouldn't change, and it doesn't. And all these other guys are changing them all the time and coming out with new editions. I mean, and they say really interesting things. Here's something that might be of interest to some of the folks, and that is John 14:2. And I know everybody's familiar with it, where the Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, in the New International Version, it says, my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you, question mark? It's an interesting way of putting it, but the point being is that either it's many mansions or many rooms. So what is it, a rooming house? Or is it something a lot more than that? So they downgrade your reservation when you get to the NIV, when it comes to John 14:2. How about this? Let me give you another example quickly here. Revelation 21:24, it says in the King James Bible, it says, and the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. Okay, but in the New International Version, it says, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor to it. They dropped out the whole idea of them which are saved. Isn't that important? What, does everybody win? Everybody makes it? Or is it only them that are saved that are going to be there?
There's so much of this. And yeah, could you give your, we only have a few more minutes, could you give your address and phone so they could get this book? It's called Which Bible Would Jesus Use? And, you know, what you need to do is get some for yourself and then start sending these to different people. I mean, send them to preachers and your friends and young men in the ministry. But I want you to get the information now before we go off the air. Okay, could you give that?
Sure. You can get a good place to get the book from. You can get it from Amazon in print or in Kindle. You could also get it from Chick Publications in California. That's C-H-I-C-K, chick.com. And they carry my books there, and they're a worthy ministry. And so you can get copies from them as well. And again, visit my Facebook page, because I have all kinds of information. Every day I post something. And again, it's really simple, really easy to see, and the comparisons are very clear. And so if you have a Facebook account, then that would be a place to get a bunch of information right off the bat. But the book is really good because you can get a big picture, and you can give out the information to people so that they get the big picture as well, that there has to be a book. There has to be. Otherwise, we can never really know the truth.
You know, I'd like you to comment on this, but I listen on the radio, and preachers are using different translations. And, you know, they say the Greek text. Of course, there's many different Greek texts that they're using. They're using different translations, different Bibles, you know, that disagree with each other in thousands of places. And Jesus said, the Bible says, I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing. Isn't that a command like something else? What do you think about preachers doing this?
Yeah, you all preach the same thing. How can you? Try to do, if you're in a church where everybody has a different version, how about everybody reads, just start reading at the same time and see how confusion that is.
I heard that one time, and the gal in the pew was laughing, you know, because it sounded crazy.
It does. I mean, think of how sad that is. If you bring a guest in and everybody's speaking in different tongues and they're reading the scripture, but it's all in English, right, or whatever language, but let's say it's English because of all the versions in English, and they're all speaking something different. How does that go over? How does that even make God? I think multiple versions are mockery to God because, again, they say different things. They contradict each other, right? They have internal contradictions, which is a joke. They don't even have between themselves, they don't even have the same number of verses. So it's a mockery to God for other versions.
You know, the devil says, yea, hath God said, you know, and that's satanic, that whole thing. And it's pushed by pride because the devil's the king of pride. And but, you know, we have the Word of God in the King James Bible, and that's the receipt that we have. Jesus has paid for all of our sin on the cross. And when we come to him in repentance and faith, we're willing to turn from our sin and put our trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. We have the evidence in here that we're saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can pray and ask the Lord to save you. right now, and you have eternal life, and it's in black and white in the King James Bible. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.